It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up 1 hour from now, Nick Sirianni, his first press conference midweek as the Eagles have their first practice today to get ready for the Rams. We'll hear from Sirianni coming up around 12:05. Elliott Shore Parks later in the show. We got to get to the fallout of the Packer fan gone viral and the Eagle fan and the nonsense that happened over the weekend and really what's happened since. We need Hugh's take on that coming up in a little bit as well. But right now, Kyle, we go out to the guest line to bring on our guy, Seth Joyner, on a big week here in Philadelphia.
And Seth, sponsored by the BetParks app, new users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back. BetParks.com for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing today?
Seth!
I'm always good, fellas. What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man.
Well, Seth.
Looking forward to Saturday and Sunday, bro.
Oh, can't wait. But maybe the best weekend of the year in football, Seth. And we got a big one against the Rams. Seth, let's look back and then we'll look forward. Eagles win over the Packers, and they did it 22-10. It could have been more if Saquon ran for the touchdown at the end. Seth, let's start with the defensive side because that's the side that continues to be the story for the Eagles. Seth, what did they do to hold down the Packers, a team that was scoring 27 points a game, and it felt like they couldn't move the football at times at all?
Well, listen, they've been doing what they've been doing all season long. You know, I don't think, you know, people give Vic Fangio and his staff enough credit for how they developed this young team. But you got a team that ranked damn near last in every statistical category last year, right on through the playoffs, to a team that's the number one ranked defense in total yards and number one against the pass, number 10 against the run. It's just, you know, they beat you in a myriad of ways. They mix it up with different players doing it from week to week. And the Eagles are a complete team from special teams to defense, you know, right on to offense. And you know, when you got a complete team like that that lifts all three phases, lifts up the other phase, you know, they're a hard team to beat. That's just what it is.
Seth, what did you make of the pass game on the offensive side on Sunday? And really, the question I have, because I've heard different things, right? Some people are like, hey, the pass game needs to be better. Jalen Hurts went a couple quarters without a completion there, started well, ended better, but in the middle it was not much. And then I've heard some people this week looked at the film and said, there really weren't many guys open and criticizing the scheme more. When you watched the game, what did you feel about Jalen Hurts' performance, which obviously was good enough to win, and he didn't turn the ball over again, which he's been great at for a few months now. But what did you notice watching it? Was there more there in the pass game he didn't get to, or was it not there, not much there this past Sunday?
No, I think they did a good job of not letting us take the top off the defense and get over top. They also did a good job, you know, playing match zone against us. And a lot of that you can't see during the game. You can only see it. I had Jaws on my podcast last night and we were talking about it. You really can't see a lot until you get to the all 22 where you can really see what's going on the field. It'll help you define so many things, not only who's open and who's not open, but also, you know, what's trying to be accomplished. You know, during the pass play, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, you know, Jalen missed this guy. He was wide open over here. Well, if that guy's on the left side of the field and Jalen's progression starts from the right to the left side, it stands to reason that, you know, a lot of times he's not going to get back to the left side. And a lot of it will have to do also with, okay, you know, if protection breaks down, which it did a little bit last week, he's certainly not going to get back to the left side, you know. So you've got gurus that are spitting knowledge or think that they're spitting knowledge on social media by putting up stills and, you know, talking about what was missed and what was missed. And I'm like, you don't have a clue, you know, how that play was designed and how that play was supposed to operate. Now, did he miss some? Absolutely. There's not a single football, there's not a quarterback that plays the perfect game that doesn't miss anything. Every quarterback misses something. Every quarterback has an off throw. But what gets exasperated when you only put the ball in the air 21, you know, to 24 times is that when the numbers aren't there, people are disillusioned into believing that, you know, the quarterback had a bad day. Listen, he started off 6 for 6 for 39 yards and a touchdown. Okay, that's set up by the special teams. Then he went blank for like 7 plays. And then when it really mattered, when it was nut crunching time, he went 8 for 9 for 92 yards and another touchdown to seal the game for the team. That's good enough for a run-centric team. And the most important thing is moving on to the next week. We can't worry about whether Jalen's going to be the weakest link or whether we need to pass more until we get into a game where he actually needs to pass more. And what has he done when put in that position? He's played better.
Well, let's talk about that the next week, which is the game obviously coming up against the Rams on Sunday. Seth, let's start with the challenge of playing a team a second time in a season. And a lot of times that will happen, obviously, in the division, but this is a non-division team for the second time during the season. What's the challenge like there for the Eagles? Because they got the way better of the Rams last time, 37-20. They ran all over them. That game was not close by the end. This one could be different. It could be similar. We'll see. What's the challenge there when you face a team and a good coach like Sean McVay a second time?
Well, the challenge for the offense is going to be, okay, this defense is a lot better than it was the last time you played them. That being said, we're still a better offensive unit than they are a defensive unit. We mauled the hell out of them and did what we wanted to do in the running game. And they don't know, by the way, A.J. Brown still had 100 yards receiving. So I think a lot of, you can't take this team for granted and think that things are going to be the same way. And I'm sure that there's enough veterans, there's enough coaching leadership to express this to these young guys that, hey, that game was that game. This is a whole different ball of wax. Okay. They still should dominate. They're going to get up in and they're going to load the box 7-8 man front. They're going to dare Jalen Hurst to beat him with his arm. They're going to try to stop Saquon. That's what got him in trouble before, because if you hit it just right, and you play by the numbers where you can get each guy with a hat on a hat and run away from the, you know, maybe the weak side defensive end or that safety that drops in the box on the weak side, you run away from him, you get man-to-man across the board blocking. That's where Saquon is, you know, second level, and maybe the only guy that's left is a safety, and I like my chances with that happening. We're probably going to see that, but they're going to challenge Jalen to throw the football. And he's going to have to answer the toll like he always does. Defensively, you know, listen, they're healthy. You know, when we played them the last time, for the most part, Nakua was in and out, Cooper was Cup was in and out. The tight end who got banged up last game. Higby was out. He's a big part of what they do. And even Matthew Stafford had been beat up and banged up from time to time. They're completely healthy. This offense doesn't scare me in the sense that I'm afraid that they don't have that speed guy to just run away from you. You know, what scares me is the fact that they've got all their pieces back. And, you know, we at times have been the type of defense where we will sit back and play off coverage and give up, you know, 8 to 10 yard out route. I'm not afraid of the speed of this team. And what I'd like to see is for our cornerbacks to get up and continue to challenge these wide receivers, you know, at the line of scrimmage and force Matt Stafford to throw perfect passes, especially in man covers, because you've got good safeties. They can give you help over the top. You're not worried about one of these guys running away from you. So don't get passive now. Stay aggressive and put the pressure on them. And, of course, the most important thing, you're going to have to stop the run, which, you know, the Eagles have been doing all year long. But, you know, to me, those are kind of the key elements of the game and, you know, the things that the Eagles, you know, have to be make sure that they don't allow to get away from them.
Joiner with us here in the midday show as we get set for division round weekend. All right, Seth, let's close with this. The Eagles, if they win, are heading to the title game, and they'll take on the winner of the Commanders and the Lions. They'll play Saturday night. Obviously, if the Commanders could pull an upset, we would get a home title game. What kind of chance do you give the Commanders? They're big underdogs, but Man, Seth, we've seen it all year. We saw it when they played the Eagles twice. Jaden Daniels is a different kind of rookie quarterback. Do you give the Commanders a shot? What do you think in that game Saturday in Detroit?
I give anybody a shot, you know, especially when you got a quarterback like that and, you know, you got a team on the rise. Detroit has not been infallible, you know, all season long. They've been extremely lucky. There's been some games that they probably should have lost that they didn't lose. You know that Dan Campbell and his staff, and Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, they're going to have them ready to play. But I think that Dan Quinn's going to have his guys ready to play too. And while Detroit, you know, is going to be the favorite because they're at home and so on and so forth, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, especially, you know, Washington's defense. Their defensive line, now that they're at full strength, against the Detroit Lions, you know, vaunted offensive line. You know, it's and Dan Quinn is such a good defensive mind. You know, when you play, Detroit is a funny team because they are a combination of both the finesse team and the physical team. And you have to ask yourself, you know, when you're watching, you have to break it down. They come in with the two extra linemen. They try to run the ball down your throat. Yet they will finesse you at times with play-action pass and try to get Jared Goff throwing it all over the map if they think they can carve you up that way. And they morph back and forth through those two identities the entire game. Your defensive coordinator, when you're playing against them, you got to be able to identify that and have something for, you know, you got to be able to morph with them. I think that Dan Quinn can, you know, and I think that I give him a pretty darn good shot at winning this game. It'll be competitive. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, it's going to be competitive. And we'll just see how it all plays out. Nothing would be grander than to get those Commanders one more time, or Hugh likes to call them
the Commodores.
Give me them Commodores and you know, here at the link one more time. That would be pretty darn awesome.
Oh, it'd be incredible. Home NFC Championship game. Seth, we appreciate hopping on. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk next Wednesday, hopefully getting ready for a championship game for the Eagles. Thank you, Seth.
No, hopefully, man. It's happening. Live and in color.
Love it. Can't wait. And there he is, Seth Joyner with us. We'll talk to him again next week, getting ready for the Eagles and somebody. How about that, Hugh? Another he's with you. Those Commodores, as you would call them, what a real fighting chance on Saturday in Detroit.
I tell you, Joe, I the more and more I think about it, it would be bananas if they were able to go in there and figure out a way to win that game. Again, I looked at the schedule. The Detroit Lions ain't seen no cat like this, man. He can stress a defense. Like, he can truly stress a defense. And the Commodores have a good enough running game where, you know, he could be a whole problem. He could definitely be a whole problem. I'm talking about the quarterback, the young quarterback. He could be a whole problem.
Yeah, Jaden. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They have enough of a passing game where they could – excuse me, running game where they could be – they could control the clock and put them in a situation where, you know, that quarterback, Jared Goff, has to throw the ball all over the schoolyard. And we've seen if he has games like that, he throw the ball too much, Joe, he might turn it over, you know?
Well, these games, you know, especially at this point of the season, one turnover here or there flips the whole game. I mean, we saw that Sunday. I mean, that opening kickoff fumble, you and I both, Hugh, driving home, we heard the roar of the crowd on the call on the radio. You knew something was the game was changing right there. Your one big play could change everything. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Did everything that happened wildcard weekend change how you feel about the Eagles and a Super Bowl run here? Yes or no? We'll have Sirianni's press conference coming up at 12 o'clock today. Let's grab Sonny. And I want to throw a hypothetical at both Hugh and Kyle and everyone that I heard a little bit yesterday when I was driving home listening to the afternoon show. Sonny in Philly. Hey, yo. Sonny.
Hey, how are
you? Sonny.
It's always Sonny in Philadelphia. All right?
That's right, Sonny. What's up, buddy? I like that.
All right. This is going to be like Zach Galifianakis between two ferns. Let me get the seven sentences, and then I'll hang up. All right, long-time listener, first-time caller. Jalen, did y'all like what y'all need to see? That should be a soundbite. How crazy is it that a man from Houston and a man from the Bronx are taking us there? Which, you know, Saquon Barkley and Jalen. Enjoy the present. We could be talking about pickleball right now. Jalen's a counterpuncher. He does what he needs to do to win. All right? We got to realize that. The guy talks real calm, cool, and collected and everything, and he gets us to where we need to be. It's a good time right now in Philadelphia to be an Eagles fan. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with, are you guys still there?
Yeah, we listening.
Well, we're here, Sonny.
This is it. F. Ryan Caldwell. Now I'll let you go. Have a great day.
Sonny, you got it, buddy.
What's the Ryan Caldwell thing? I think that's Buddy that,
he's
that
the
had
Eagles
the
fan.
Guy. Yeah, that acted up.
Oh, the one that everyone found out who he was. I got that.
Yeah.
We're gonna dive into that story coming up in a little bit. were you guys counting sentences? I feel like that was more than seven sentences.
Oh, no, I wasn't paying. Man, come on, man. You know I wasn't paying attention to that. I let him speak.
That was kind of brutal.
Yeah, I just let him.
Okay. Was that a poem, or did he think he had notes?
Well, I've seen
it's the
Zach Galifianakis. He had this show called Between Two Ferns, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
His show was funny. That delivery was not. I mean, but hey, thank you. Thank you for listening.
That was pretty unfunny.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Okay, I've been listening. It was his first time calling. I mean, should we give him a break?
No, he get a pass. He get a pass, but it wasn't funny. You know,
I couldn't follow along if it was seven bullet points followed by paragraphs afterwards, or just because I think that was more than seven sentences, Kyle. That felt like more than seven.
It was a lot.
What'd you say?
It was more than seven sentences. I was just trying to keep track.
Oh well, yeah, without a punctuation too, probably.
Yeah, no, that just it was something else. All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you, Hugh, because I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday as I drove home, and Hugh, they were discussing the idea of, do the Eagles need to be more aggressive? And really, in Spike's point was that they've gotten conservative here. And I think he was speaking more on Sirianni, not so much Jalen Hurts, right? You know, we want Jalen to protect the football. And if it's not there, he's not going to put it in harm's way. But the thought was, Hugh, remember early in that game, they had like a 4th and 3 or 4 on like the, I think it was the Packers 45 or 46. You know, an area of the field where I would say a lot in the recent past, earlier this season, they probably go for that, and Sirianni chose to punt there. Hugh, what do you make of it? The Eagles have gotten more conservative, I would say, since, I don't know, middle of the season. Remember that game against Jacksonville with Sirianni? We all ripped him for taking 9 points off the board. The game against the Saints where he was going for 4th downs left and right. Have we gone too far the other way with conservative play calling and punting rather than, you know, putting the foot on the gas? Where do you come down, Hugh?
I think Coach Sirianni – I'm going to long talk a little bit, Joe. So
okay,
just,
go
just
ahead. Yeah, go for it.
I think Coach Sirianni has evolved as a coach. I think he's become a better coach. I think he's become more focused as a coach. So with that being said, the fact that he is not as aggressive as he's been in the past, we've benefited tremendously from that, for him probably putting a little bit more thought into some of the moves that he's made. I still think that is there. You know, you don't just suppress that aggressive gene all the way where it won't rear his ugly head. But I think this is a strategy, you know, for Coach Sirianni moving forward. Whatever it is, they in a one-game sampling size, they've done enough to win the game, but not show their hand, if you will. Now, the reason why we as Eagle fans get upset with this team is because we know what they're capable of. You know, we know what we've seen in the past, and I feel like that's why Jalen gets so much ire, because we've seen in the past Jalen play better. But the last couple of weeks, I think they've done just enough to get the job done, and they're being more calculating in some of the things that they're doing. I'm okay with that. As long as it keeps us advancing, I'm okay with Coach Sirianni being a little conservative. Because going into that game against the Detroit Lions, when we get there, that's where it's going to call to pull out all the stops, I believe.
Yep.
Because you know what Coach Daniels is going to do up there.
Well, he's not going to punt. I mean,
he taking advantage of every opportunity he gets.
Yep. Yeah, foot on the gas the whole time, you know, 0 to 60 in 10 seconds. So here's where I come down on this. I I just need, and I think you alluded to this, Hugh, I need Sirianni to read the room. And that's why I was frustrated with him against the Saints and against the Jaguars, because I thought he was being aggressive in games he didn't need to be. You know, those teams in those games really weren't moving the football. His defense was playing so well. And I was fine with the punt last week against the Packers because I thought his defense was in control. I just need him to read the game correctly. Kyle, you know, I'm usually more for aggression than I am, you know, punting. But, yeah, like, if the defense is dominating, I'm okay with the punt and not setting up the other team. Now, well, like you just said, next week against the Lions, the first possession of the game, if they're on the 46, I don't know if I want to punt, right? I might need to go score as much as I can to win that game. So that's where I think it's every game is its own thing. But I'm okay. I was okay with that punt, you know, the other day against the Packers.
Well, you can look at the trust of the defense in, I think, a few different ways. If you trust them enough, then yeah, sure, you're okay with punting. But also, do you trust them enough to leave them with potentially a short field if you don't convert on a fourth down? I mean, I do, personally. So that's how I would view it. Like, if I had a chance to be aggressive, then I think the risk is worth the reward just with how well the defense is playing.
Well, and they've played phenomenally. And you put them back, sometimes they'll get you the ball right back, and you're at midfield already. So we'll see how Sirianni plays it on Sunday. And obviously, a lot of it will depend on how the Eagles' defense is shutting down the Rams early in the game. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll have Sirianni coming up, press conference at around noon today. Did everything that happened Wildcard Weekend change how you feel about an Eagles Super Bowl run? Yes or no? Back to all your phone calls. We got everyone coming up. And Wildcard Weekend, it didn't make me feel better. It made Hugh kind of feel the same. Where are you at? Plus, we want to play something Michael Irvin said in reaction to A.J. Brown on Sunday. You're going to want to hear this. Michael Irvin, a guy that was known to play with a lot of emotion, his feeling on A.J. Brown on Sunday. Plus, Kyle's telling me that I missed something that happened already on the show today that we need to replay. All right, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's something silly I did. We'll get to that. Something that I missed on the show already today. Maybe you guys missed it too. We'll have that coming up. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. Get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, all customers get a no-sweat, same-game NFL parlay for any game. Just place a three-leg NFL same-game parlay, and you'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel.com/GIGLIL FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 90.